For our intro story, this one comes out of Kotaku and was written by Zach Zwizen. Gotta love that alliteration there in that name. That's great. If you check out the official Pringles Twitter account right now, you'll notice an odd pattern in the replies. Folks are responding to every boring tweet about new flavors and favorite snacks with an image of Donkey Kong that makes it look like he is shooting lightning out of his crutch. Emblazoned across the evocative image are the words, "Cock Blast!" So, what the fuck is going on? So, there's a person named Krusty Cooper on Twitter who claims to have started this trend, and basically he says...
Krusty Cooper.
Oh, such a good name.
Oh, I can't even
matches
say it.
This perfectly. Like,
yep.
A friend of mine tweeted saying he wanted people to spam Pringles Twitter comments with an with another image. It was a meme of a bug, Krusty Cooper told Broderick. But I made my own tweet telling people to spam the Donkey Kong cock blast meme instead. And it eventually spread to people outside of my friend group to the point where it just became its own thing. According to Krusty Cooper, there is no real organization around the meme. The subcultures just popped up in the replies to every banal Pringles tweet. This was just an example of an absurd anti-brand prank exploding in popularity. Maybe folks really hate Pringles, or maybe people just love posting that cock blast meme. Who can say why this took off? But it did. Oh, now, Lockie, I should really have sent you like a picture of this meme because it is it is a sight to behold. I'll get that up. But I know, Hunter, you've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, what do you think of the Donkey Kong Pringles?
Look, who doesn't love a good Donkey Kong meme? I'm just going to start there. Like, a Donkey Kong meme always seems to go, like, real good, you know? But this is just such, like, a modern story, isn't it? Just, like, something out of nowhere. Let's troll a big company. Like, let's get this... like, random thing that they're not gonna like and just, like, post it on all their, like, things. To be fair, like, I would probably buy a Cock Blast branded, like, tube of Pringles just because I'd be curious what that flavor mixture would be like. But, you know, it's like, dude, it's perfect marketing if they buy into it.
Yeah.
Just put Donkey Kong on the front, you know, have, like, a Donkey Kong face where the Pringles man normally is. And then just have, like, just, I'd say just go all in on it, man, if I was them. Like, maybe not call it Cock Blast. Maybe call it something like, you know, like Block Blast or something similar to that. Or, like, Clock Blast or something.
No, they've got to make it family friendly for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but I'd say just play into it as much as you can.
Or Banana Blast, because that's, like, yes, ape themed.
Perfect.
And also...
perfect.
Banana's like a dick, so there's a double entendre.
Dude, you've nailed it.
It writes itself, yeah. You know. The tagline could be "Taste the Kong." It's just, it's so perfect. But I think the only issue there,
well, you know, you
get
like
a load of Kong in your mouth.
You like peel the.
Or get some Kong up in you.
You think Kirby has full mouth mode? Wait till you try a Pringles cock blast flavor. Hello and welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories, and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. My name is Zach, and I'm here with my co-host, Lockie. Lockie, how's it going?
Hey.
Coming at me with the same energy, I love it. It's great.
Oh, yeah. New stories, it's Lockie and the Hizzy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
dear.
Got some bars.
Shocking. God, it's shocking.
Oh, dear. And we'll find out on this episode if this guest has bars. That's right, we're going to get him to freestyle his entire impressions. Hunter, One of my best friends on this planet. Thank you for joining us, mate. How's it going?
Oh, no, thanks for having me back, guys. It's been way too long.
It has been a while, hasn't it? It's been a while. Holy shit.
Yeah, no, I'm stoked. Obviously, big fan of the show. Big fan of Zach. Big fan of Lockie. Lockie, I'm not going to freestyle my impressions because I don't, like, I'd be shamed by your sick bars there.
Oh, no, they were shocking.
Oh, dude,
I think we need to move away
give
from that dumpster.
Credit. That's like something Jay-Z would have come up with.
Oh, and based on how much I know about Jay-Z, I think you're 100% right about that. Oh, it's good to have you back again, Hunter. How have you been, my friend?
Good, man. As I said, thanks for having me back. Yeah, very keen to rip into it. Got some good stories this week. So, yeah, no, let's rip in. Let's go.
Oh, I'm pumped to get into it. But just briefly before we do, I just want to mention that if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify as well too, it would take you just a moment to give us a cheeky review. If you could, pretty please, if you get anything out of this show, we'd much appreciate it because it really does help us get into the ears of more people.
Zach, after that intro, I don't think we should be begging for reviews. Like, kind of shooting yourself in the foot there, mate.
All right, well, if you don't want to give us a review, then come watch me on Twitch. I promise the content will be better. Oh, I sounded very confident about that.
You should leave a review. Sorry to cut you off there, Zach. You should leave a review and see if you can have better bars than Lockie. See, post your bars in the reviews and see if you can come up with anything better.
I've got a feeling that that people just might be able to handle that. But I don't know if people will be able to handle the news we have this week because we have so much of it. How about we get stuck in?
Let's do it.
Our first story. Sony, a little old state of play. Now, this one they did announce beforehand. It was like literally like a day or two before they announced that this was going to be happening. And they said it was going to be focused more on Japanese developers. And, yeah, they definitely were true to that statement. I think the only sort of studio that wasn't, like, a Japanese-based developer was Housemark, which was the only first-party showing from this state of play. I'm getting ahead of myself anyway. But, yeah, bloody, they had some pretty interesting stuff to talk about there. So the first thing they showed was a game called Exoprimal. It's a new IP from Capcom. And it's coming to PS4 and PS5 next year. And this is super bizarre. And I recommend checking it out, Lockie, because it's just... I almost don't know what to make of it. It's like what if zombies, but they were dinosaurs in a way? Because, you know, you're just fighting these waves and hordes of enemies that seem to kind of just be brainless and just attack you. But you're wearing like these mech suits, kind of like in Anthem. And the zombie, basically the trailer starts off with just a whole bunch of dinosaurs falling from a portal in the sky and like a weather report talking about how there's like a chance of dinosaurs. It's fucking nuts. It's insane.
It's
but,
like Sharknado kind of vibes, you know? Like,
Absolutely. It's so weird, but like, I don't know, out of everything I saw here, it kind of piqued my interest the most, I think. And that's probably why they decided to lead off with this one. Now, this one was a live service. Looks like it's going to be a live service game, I believe. At the very least, it's going to be co-op, 100%. You can definitely tell they're going to have multiplayer elements. You'll see a character and he's like, what do they call the suits in Anthem? I think they're called javelins. Yeah. He's in his javelin, even though it's not actually a javelin. It's whatever they're going to call it here. Probably an exo suit because it's called Exoprimal. And he's sort of holding off all the dinosaurs with like a big shield kind of a thing. I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely piqued my interest, that's for sure. Hunter, have you
seen... Yeah, you got future and prehistory clashing together. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, some weird sci-fi take. Hunter, have you seen Exoprimal, the trailer for it?
Yeah, look, I saw the one on the State of Play, as you said. Mm. You described it as well as you probably could. It's a hard game to describe. Like, and as I said, it's got some like Sharknado kind of vibes to it. because, yeah, like, you know, cloudy with a chance of dinosaurs kind of thing.
We can't confirm if Tara Reid's in this one.
No, I don't think Tara Reid's in this game, unfortunately. She probably should be, but...
She should be in there and she should play a T-Rex or something.
Absolutely. But yeah, as I said, I think you described it as well as you could, because it is a weird one, but it's definitely piqued my interest of, like, this game looks dumb, but it looks fun dumb. Yeah. If that makes any sense. It just looks like it's something that's, like, going to be ridiculous, that's going to be fun to play. Like, who knows what the story or anything is going to be, if there is any. But, as I said, it just looks like it's going to be fun just to, you know, hey, check out this ridiculous game, you know? You get a few mates over, be like, oh, look at this, it's raining dinosaurs. So, yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I'm definitely going to check it out, like... yeah, I think as I said, it definitely piqued my interest.
Yeah, how about you, Lockie? Are you interested in Exo Primal at all?
I think it's creative. Hey,
that's for sure.
Like, yeah, I'm kind of almost getting some Horizon Zero Dawn vibes with a mishmash of prehistory and
I can
future.
See that. Yeah, I can see that with the dinosaurs and
yeah. It's just got a bit of that aesthetic going on. I don't think it's going to be nearly as... focused as Horizon Zero Dawn series. I think it's going to be really unfocused, which could be awesome, could be great mess of fun, or it could be a completely unfinished piece of crap. Who knows
if it turns out to be live service. This is I believe this one, oh no, this is Capcom. Oh, they're pretty good with live service. I'd say Monster Hunter is basically live service, so very interested in this one. There's a moment in the trailer too where you see a whole bunch of, they're probably pterodactyls. Pterodactyl? No, it's pterodactyl. Yeah, the P silent. Oh my god. Oh, I've had a couple of drinks and it's throwing me off already. you see a whole bunch of, like, you see about 100 of them come smashing through this window in this old, like, dilapidated looking building. And it looked fucking cool, but, you know, I also remember Anthem looking pretty cool when they showed it off at E3 as well, too, and we all know how that turned out. So, for me, this is going to be a massive question mark, but I'm definitely interested, that's for sure.
Look, we've all been let down before when it comes to ads and games and them not delivering on the final product, but... damn it, that's not what State of Play is about. It's about getting hyped about a game that's probably going to be awful on release. So forget about the future, get hyped.
And speaking of getting hyped, get hyped because Ghostwire Tokyo is going to be coming out in like a couple of weeks' time. It's like the 25th of March, I believe. It is not far away at all. There is so many games coming out at the moment. We got a bit of a story trailer for that in the State of Play. And I don't know. I'm not really that interested in the story with Ghostwire Tokyo, but for anyone who wants some more Ghostwire Tokyo, they have provided. But then they showed off some Forspoken. They gave us a look at some more gameplay of Forspoken, and we've got a new date for it as well, too. It's coming out October 11th, 2022. Now, I don't know if you guys remember this one. It's the one where basically your chick who gets transported to another world... who gets powers and fights dragons and stuff. It looks pretty cool, but apparently there was a preview they showed not too long ago, and it was very rough, like very jank. A lot of people who got to see it and play it thought this needs a bit more time, and then apparently the developers agreed.
Well, that sounds similar to that Exo game, you know? It sounds like it might be a fun game to check out and pick up and play for a bit, but who knows what... that's going to be, like, as you said, it looks a bit jank from some of the videos. Yeah. So, but, I mean, it's October, so they've still got a bit of time to work on it.
Yeah.
So who knows what it'll look like by then. So they're showing it off in this State of Play, and it's coming out in October. So that means they're obviously confident that they should reach that release date. So
I hope so. Who knows with how the world is at the moment.
Well, that's another one to keep an eye on, I think. As I said, that might be another... fun pick up and play one, just a ridiculous kind of looking game. Like,
now I did mention before that I've been streaming on Twitch, and I've been playing a bit of Jak 3, and something I've been raving about in Jak 3 is they give you a hoverboard which you can use at any moment, and I was like, you know, if they put this in Horizon Forbidden West, you know, that's perfect game. Any game that they put a hoverboard in, they can take out at any moment. That's 10 out of 10 to me. And it looks like there is like some version of a hoverboard in Forspoken. There's like, it looks like you can sort of surf on like some kind of energy kind of a thing. It looks like there's a very heavy focus on traversal in Forspoken, and it looks like it's going to be one of those kind of power fantasy type games as well too, which is a game pretty much designed specifically for me. So, like, if they pull off what they're promising here, which, you know, new IP and Square Enix, they haven't been knocking it out of the park every time at the moment, then Forspoken could be one that I'm fucking, yeah, gonna really enjoy. But yeah, it's a big wait and see. I guess I'll have to wait till October. Lockie, do you care at all about Forspoken?
Yeah, it looks really nice. It looks really nice in the trailer, so if it turns out being a well-made, well-polished world, it could be good. I don't know. I'm getting Legend of Korra vibes, so it looks like a hyper-realistic Legend of Korra.
Ooh, yeah.
I just kind of wish they were able to secure the rights of the Legend of Korra, so I could have gotten the story with that. Maybe give that sort of world a little bit more of a focus. Not feeling too attached to this character, but hey, I haven't seen the story yet.
You think if anyone could secure the rights, it'd be Square Enix. Like, they work with Disney, for fuck's sake, with Kingdom Hearts. And Disney is so strict with what of their IPs they let other people use. So, yeah, fuck.
I feel like maybe they were umming and ahhing that sort of potential, you know, maybe this is an Avatar thing, but cool. For whatever reason, it didn't. Yeah, pan out that way. And so they said, fuck it, we'll just do another Horizon.
Hey, I'm down for more Horizon.
Fuck it, it's raining dinosaurs now. Like.
Yeah, they said, fuck it, Horizon's doing well, and that'll be, you know, half a year later after the release, so we'll get a couple of people from there.
And I don't know if this game's going to do well. Gundam Evolution. It's a Gundam game, but it's a PvP... Yep. First-person shooter, and I looked at it, and like, other than the fact that you are a Gundam, I can't see anything else that would really signify why this is any different to any other first-person PvP shooter out there. They're going to be doing a network test in spring 2022 in the US and Japan, so we don't get to see it anyway. That'll be autumn for us. So at least hopefully in autumn we'll hear some more about it. But fuck, the trailer I saw, there was nothing that got me excited at all. Ugh, Gundam, do you care, Hunter?
Not really, especially because my brother is like really into it and he's a massive weeb, so I just couldn't even be bothered.
Yeah, but, fuck him.
Yeah, fuck you, Hayden, if you're listening, which I know you're not, but fuck you anyway.
Do you reckon Hayden would like this type of game then?
Dude, honestly, he probably would. He would probably get it. Like,
okay. So, all right. So the market's there. At
that's
least.
What I'm
so
saying. Like, if you're for... into it, there's a market for it, and I think that's why they're testing it in the US and Japan first. Obviously, Japan's the main market for that kind of game. But I agree with what you said, Zach. It didn't really look like. It just looks like a normal first-person shooter clone, just with like Gundam skins, basically. I haven't. That's all we've seen. You know, who knows? They probably have like cool power-ups and stuff like that. But again, it's just, not something I'm definitely going to be checking out. But the market is there.
Yeah. Lockie, do you have anything to say on Gundam Evolution?
No, I can't give a fuck about this.
I didn't think so, but I thought I better throw it to you because I feel like it'd be weird if I didn't throw it to both of you.
We'll need to get a follow up to that and find out what Hayden thinks of this game.
Yeah, look, honestly, like I'll lend him my PS5 and he can play it, and I'll get him to give me the review, and I'll come on the show and give his review for you guys.
Yeah, there we go. Look forward to a secondhand review from Hunter in the future. The next thing that I actually am excited to talk about, because potentially, like, anyone who listens to this show will know I bring up Hunter a lot because he is my co-op gaming partner. We play every co-op game that exists. Him and I will be playing it together. And Returnal is going to be getting a co-op mode March 22nd, 2022. Hunter, I've already got a copy and you can't borrow it and use it because we both need one in order for us to both play it. Are you going to pick up Returnal so we can smash it out together?
Oh, I think I might, man. I didn't realize it was that that close either. That's like only a couple weeks away. So
free update as well, too.
Yeah, so I might have to pick up a copy, especially now that they let you actually save the game. that was one thing turned me off in the beginning. So, but yeah, no, I think I might, man. That sounds like it might be a bit of fun. So,
Now it looks like to me it is only two people playing at a time. I didn't see in the trailer. I didn't see any clips of any other people playing. So sorry, Lockie, if you were thinking, I'll jump in on that. But has this got you more interested in Returnal at all? Oh, also, there's going to be a survival mode they're adding, like an endless tower that you can go through with an endless amount of enemies. Does that make you any more interested in Returnal than what you were before?
Oh, are you talking to me?
Yeah!
Oh, okay. Not really. Not considering how you kind of said, oh, yeah, this new feature that they've offloaded won't be useful to you at all. You know, no, not really.
Hey, maybe Aaron will pick it up as well too, then you guys can play it. I don't know.
Nah.
But I'm pumped to know that they're adding co-op to it, because it is a brutally hard experience, and I think having someone else there to take a bit of the heat would be very, very welcoming. Like, it actually makes me... Like, I tried to get back into Returnal in January, I think, and I had a great run. I got up to a spot I hadn't managed to get to before. I got up to a boss I hadn't managed to get to before. But just having to go from all the way back at the beginning again, each run taking like multiple hours, I was like, I don't know if I can do it. But to have a friend to play through it with, I think I could definitely see myself getting into it. So yeah, bloody Returnal. If you've got a copy, you're going to get this update. It's free. You don't have to pay anything for it. So that's fucking awesome. But what I don't know if it'll be awesome is the Dofield Chronicle. It's a new weeb strategy RPG. That's what I put in the doc here. And they said it's going to be real-time tactical battles. So it looks like one of those top-down tactical RPGs, but there's going to be real-time elements. Mm. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, isn't the whole point of those games that you can sort of relax and take your time with it and make strategic choices? Yeah. Why do you want a limit on that?
Look, it depends what they're going for, but it sounds like it's an RTS game, which is kind of like, if you remember StarCraft, Warcraft, those types of Age of Empires. So there is a market for it, and if they do a really great job, then it's a whole heap of fun. But when you said that it was a weeb game, like, normally JRPGs they're just dog shit at RTS. I don't know why, but they just are.
Oh, that's unfortunate. So I don't think you're going to care about this one, Hunter. Let's just move on. There's going to be...
Good call.
There's going to be a weeb action RPG, though, as well. Oh, fuck. Called...
Is this just like the weeb episode?
Well, it's the weeb state of play. It's literally Japan's state of play. So, yeah.
Yeah. Where do you think weebs came from?
Good point.
So, yeah, Valkyrie Elysium... Looks like an action RPG. I don't know. It looks all right. I don't know. I can't get into these games. It's not for me. Lockie, maybe you might be interested in this one. It definitely isn't anything like standout though for me personally. Like I not enough that I'd even bother messaging it to you or anything like that.
Yeah, but you got to paint me a picture. I don't know what it's about. Here's the problem, Zach. I'm trying to play it on YouTube, the state of play, but you're talking about them all out of order. So are we talking about the crappy looking samurai game?
No,
is that
no.
What we're talking about?
This one's right. I didn't include every single thing.
Are we talking about shitty Ghost of Tsushima?
No. It's like some. I don't even know what you play as, but yeah, it's
so
at the
shit.
Very
they don't
end.
Even have color.
Yeah, I didn't include everything from the state of play, but it was that I was that interested in it. I didn't write anything more other than weeb action RPG, so that's that goes to show.
Look, I thought Elysium was an all right flick. it could have stood to have a bit more of a story to it, other than Matt Damon needs to get the meds. Yeah. And that's all I can say about Elysium.
Well, honestly, man, yeah, it's a pretty weak state of play. My highlight of this whole thing was the fact that they're re-releasing a bunch of old arcade Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games. That's like the, that's honestly the one thing I'm looking forward to the most. I don't care about anything else. Like
you're like, oh, also they've got 2D Krang again. We need more of that.
Yeah, no, yeah. That tells you how weak it is. So yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, look, I
love the how the Ninja Turtles is like the pinnacle of 90s culture. Where they're like, cowabunga, tubular dude.
Let's
like,
eat some pizza. Like.
Yeah, that is only for people that grew up in the 90s, isn't it? Because, like, no one would look at that nostalgically. Anyone younger would look at that and go, oh, yeah, that's a really cool
They were around a little bit in the 80s, too. So there's some, like, late 80s kids that are, like, you know, my oldest brother was born, like, late 80s, and he's pretty keen on Ninja Turtles as well, so...
Oh, like when they went through their disco phase.
Oh, when they had those terrible live action suits and yeah. Let's just not talk about that.
Turtle afros and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know how to segue from that to what we're going to talk about next because it is definitely depressing news. Yeah. So we had our sort of more happier Sony
state stuff. Of play, more like state of, hey, here's a depressing story.
Yay! Thank you, Lockie. So people, go back and listen to an episode of News to Reviews called Bill Gates Teat. We talk about the very first story we talk about.
I don't remember that at all. That sounds delightful.
The very first story we talk about was about a class action lawsuit that was started by an ex-employee of Sony named Emma Marjo. And basically, Sony tried, in the time between when all that happened, you can go back and listen to that episode to get an in-depth story about that. Basically... it's about gender discrimination. Sony doing some pretty dodgy stuff in their workplaces, unfortunately. Sony tried to get that thrown out, and one of their reasons was, oh, look, she's the only woman who's come forward, blah, 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 blah. And now, 8 more people have come forward as well, too, and they've listed the same sort of issues that Emma had to deal with, as well as stuff like apparently during promotions... women would often be sort of taken into consideration would be their family situations, whereas for the men that wouldn't be taken into consideration, which is a super uncomfortable thing. They should not have had to go through that if this all turns out to be true. So look, I think this is just obviously back then when the story came out, it was just the start. And I think there's going to be more that comes out now. Like we've had eight women come forward now, but it's probably going to... keep growing, I'd say. I wouldn't be surprised in the future. But, yeah, very disappointing to hear about this news coming out. And it's great to see more women are coming forward. Oh, Lockie.
Sorry, I sound like a ghoul for laughing at this. I'm laughing at the absurdity of asking someone about their family situation in a job interview.
Oh, like, it's so fun.
Who the fuck does that?
Yeah, it's and it really sucks to see. Like, it's everywhere in the industry. Just like when we talked about this story last time, it's not just in the massive publishers like Activision Blizzard and Ubisoft. Sony, the platform holders themselves as well too, are fucked. And we haven't heard of these stories coming from like the development studios. We've heard of like crunch at Naughty Dog, but not situations like this. But yeah, this sounds like it's more the actual Sony Entertainment's production side of things. And it's awful to hear that they're having to deal with this shit. Hunter, terrible situation. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I haven't really got much to say on this. As you said, obviously a terrible situation. You never want to hear about this stuff. And it seems like you're hearing more and more about it these days with a lot of different companies, which also isn't great. If there's 8 more women that came forward, it kind of makes you think how many more will or won't come forward at the same time as well. Like it's not a nice situation to be in for anyone. And as you said, Lockie, the absurdity of the fact that they're asking the women about the family situation and not the men, it's kind of like, how does that even work? Considering...
Yeah, men have families too.
Well, men can go on maternity leave these days, so... Like, how does that even...
Or they can adopt.
Yeah, I don't...
Or they may already have kids.
What if it's
too... Maybe they might...
two male parents as well, you know? Like, what's the go there? Do they question one and not the other? As I said, it's a very messy situation. You never like hearing this stuff come out of any company, especially gaming companies that we like, so... Mm.
Besides the point, anyway, like, no person at all...
That's, yeah.
No matter how they identify, should their family situation be taken into account whether or not they get a promotion. Well,
if you're going to do it for...
You're allowed to have a fucking family if you want. What the fuck?
If you're going to do it for one person, you got to do it for everyone. So that's...
And also, like, how long do these interviews go for? Because, like, you know, the interview time should be really focused on... You know, do you have the skills to be able to pull off this job?
Yeah.
You know, are you the right fit for the team environment, all that good stuff?
Yeah.
But instead they're going into their fucking families and like, oh yeah, now I recall that you have two children. Now what's their health like at the moment? You don't see them potentially going to need a little bit of extra care, you know? Like, you know, how far into it do you have to go to try and predict somebody's family situation? If they have something unpredictable happen, it fucking happens.
Absolutely. And speaking of something unpredictable, oh, what a segue. Oh no. The developers behind Dying Light 2 I think Deep Silver developed them. It's Zach here from the future. Dying Light 2 was developed by Techland. It wasn't developed by Deep Silver. That's Techland. Sorry, back to the show. Have brought a next-gen upgrade out for Dying Light 1, a game from back in 2014. It's going to get a 60 FPS mode, with full HD, 60 FPS in QHD, and 30 FPS in 4K resolution. And the PS4 Pro will get some increased options as well too. Apparently an Xbox upgrade is coming soon. Holy shit. I guess that's just kind of for me, that bit of news there, because I'm the only one here I think he's really excited about Dying Light, because I love that game.
that news is so late, it should be called olds.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, like, I'm surprised this hasn't happened already, but I suppose they're just trying to cash in on the popularity of Dying Light 2, you know, like, hey, don't forget there's a first one here. Like,
oh yeah, but who's gonna fucking do that after they come into Dying Light 2? They're gonna go, oh yeah, I want to play the game that released 6 years ago,
yeah, that I've been playing for the last 6 years waiting for the second one. Like,
yeah. I guess that's like, why it's so unexpected though, like, it's bloody nuts that they've decided to do this so long after the game came out. Like, it came out like 6 years ago, 7 years ago, something like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, far out.
Weird
but
timing.
This wasn't weird timing, though. Gotham Knights got delayed. We all knew that. But now we've finally got a date for it. 25th of October, 2022. Gotham Knights.
Spooky.
Gotham Knights is the Warner Brothers.
Bloody Halloween.
Oh!
I wonder if Scarecrow is going to be a bad guy we face. Oh! I wonder if he's going to smoke a bong like he does in the recent Netflix series. Anyone who hasn't watched, who is it? You know, like the Young Justice League or whatever that's headed by Robin. Fuck, what are they called?
Oh, what are we talking about, Zach? I can't keep track.
Titans, sorry. The Netflix series Titans. In that, Scarecrow is great. He's fantastic. And at one stage, he smokes a bong randomly. Yep. It's very bizarre. Anyway, Gotham Knights. I don't know if Scarecrow will be in it smoking a bong, but he it's coming out 25th of October. Lockie, are you going to pick up Gotham Knights when it comes out?
Yeah, probably. If it's looking decent, I really liked the trailer for this when I saw it last year. It looked like it was going to be a whole mess of fun.
Oh, yeah. And it's Co-op Hunter. Do you reckon you're going to pick it up, bro?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a huge Batman nerd. I've loved Batman ever since I was a kid. My favorite superhero. Loved the Arkham games. I know this is a bit different to that, but I'm definitely going to pick this one up, I'd say.
Bloody oath. And I know I'm definitely going to pick this one up. Dead Space, the remake. Oh, I never got to play Dead Space, so I'm very excited for the remake to come out. We've finally got a sort of window of when it's going to be released, and it's expected to come out early 2023. Lockie, you gonna pick up Dead Space Remake? Do you care at all?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
No. I'll pick up that one. I've heard so much about it. I never played it. Played the first one, and now I don't have to, because they're remaking it. Oh, fuck yeah.
Same boat right here. How about you, Hunter?
I'm definitely picking this one up. One of my earlier gaming memories was not really young, but I was at my oldest brother's place when I was about 13 years old. And he was like, oh, check out this cool game I just got. This was when Dead Space first came out. And I was like, oh, this looks like fun. Turned all the lights off on me, you know, made it real spooky atmosphere. It was one of the first games that ever really properly scared me. So yeah, I'll definitely be picking up the remake now. I'm a big strong boy. hopefully I don't crap my pants again. But yeah, no, I enjoyed what I played of it back then. So, and it was a good looking game in its time as well. So I'd imagine the remake, it will probably be pretty good. So yeah, that's another one I think I'll definitely be picking up.
Oh, bloody
hell. Wasn't it basically scary Mass Effect?
Yeah, and it's kind of like, kind of got like an Aliens kind of vibe to it too. You know, you got all these like weird fucking creatures jumping out at you from all different angles. Like, you'll be walking along, you'll be fine, and then all of a sudden something jumps out from down in a vent on you and stuff. Like, it's definitely got a good atmosphere, that game. So
the Xenomorphs are so cool. But it's more like it's basically Resident Evil but on a spaceship.
Yeah.
Basically, like, it's one of the like game director, I believe. I'm not 100% sure on that. Was the one behind Resident Evil 4, and this was the next game that he worked on. So you're going to definitely get feels of that. Like, it's over the shoulder third person shooter survival horror. Very cool. But yeah, I wouldn't say like Mass Effect, like, you're not, there's no dialogue choices. You're not like talking to a whole bunch of people. You're basically just.
No, I said scary Mass Effect because it takes place scary in Mass space. You dig.
Oh, okay.
Not gameplay.
Okay, not gameplay wise.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It calm down. It's all
Listen,
right.
Listen, Zach. Jesus.
Well, look, I don't think this is all right that bloody Halo Infinite came out and it didn't have the fucking co-op in it. What the fuck? Fuck 343, and now 343 Industries has addressed this via Halo Waypoint. Now, it was meant to come out with the start of Season 2, but that ain't happening. So this is the statement from 343, but the reality is that it's going to take more time to land a high-quality, full-featured, four-player network co-op experience in the massive, wide-open world of Halo Infinite. We're also committed to a great two-player split-screen co-op experience on all Xbox consoles from the original Xbox One through to the Xbox Series X. And
Stop committing to new things. You need to finish what you started. Stop promising all this other stuff. Just finish what you started, and then you can talk about your new thing.
But that's the thing. Like, every single Halo game before this launched with co-op in the fucking campaign.
Yeah.
Like,
it's really embarrassing.
They didn't finish the initial game when they released it. They're like, oh, we'll just do half our homework.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like they're trying to get us to forget about this. It's like, no, just finish that. I get it. You want to move on to the other thing. Don't talk about the other thing.
Yeah.
That's not what's in focus at the moment. Just focus.
So basically they're saying that it's
clean your room and then you can talk about another project.
So basically they're saying that it's going to come out more towards the end of Season 2, the campaign network co-op, but the actual split-screen co-op is going to be taking longer. It just said they'll share a release date as soon as they can, so they don't have a clue when that's going to be coming.
Look, to be honest, I'm more forgiving on the split-screen co-op, because these days, how do you fucking do that?
Yeah, unless you're literally sitting on a couch with your friends, like, you don't really have that much these days.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. I don't have friends, so I can't really contextualize.
Well, no, that's the thing. Like, split screen is only for couch play. Otherwise, it's like, as you said, what's the point? Like,
it's just these days there's just so much going on a screen compared to the old days on the old Halo, where you could pull off kind of a decent split screen situation. These days there's just so much going on that I don't know how they can do it without it just being too much noise on that screen. And then from a processing standpoint, I think they're pretty much trying to get as much out of these machines as possible. I don't think they can handle, like, you know, conflicting physics going on the same screen. And I think that's what their big struggle is at the moment technologically.
Yeah, absolutely right, Lockie, because they even said, like, part of the issue is, like, now it's an open world, so they've got two people with these massive draw distances that they have to deal with. And already, yeah. Like, I've played Halo Infinite. That is, it's just trees and rocks, people. Just trees and rocks. That's all they're doing. And it's still a struggle. It's a little bit embarrassing for Xbox, in my opinion. I couldn't even finish Halo Infinite because it just stopped working after an update. My PC is underpowered, so it could be because of that. But still, like, fuck. Like, how could I play through half of it and not the rest? Oh, my God.
No, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because I completely forgot about that. That's why I stopped playing Halo Infinite, was because the game stopped launching on my fucking Xbox Game Pass launcher.
Oh!
And I just got sick of trying to find a solution around it. And so I just stopped playing.
Was it stopping, like, in the Microsoft Studios screen for you? Because that's when it was doing it for me. Yeah. It just freezed, and that's it.
It would do that. Sometimes it just wouldn't launch at all. Sometimes it wouldn't launch, and then I would move on to another game, and then, like, fucking 10 minutes later or 30 minutes later, the game would show up, like, three times on my computer and just almost melt it down, and I'm just like, oh, fuck. And I just got sick of it. I was like I wanted to play the game. There was no...
I wanted to play, but it wasn't letting me.
It wouldn't let me. It wouldn't let me. And there was just so much else going on. I'd just move on to something else, because that's what the gaming world is like nowadays. So it's like, And I didn't even mention it on this show, but what a fucking embarrassment.
Oh,
Microsoft.
It's bad. Hey.
That's your flagship game.
And as you said, considering co-op is like one of the key selling points of those games, and every game has launched with co-op enabled, why is this all of a sudden an issue?
Yeah, you're right, Lockie. It's bad. And it makes me feel better knowing that it's not working with your PC, because your PC is definitely powerful enough to run Halo Infinite.
It can handle it when it's running it looks great, but it's not launching. I don't know. Game Pass, you know, Game Pass, you're meant to be great. Why are you being so terrible?
All I'm going to say is thank fuck it is on Game Pass, because if I'd paid full price for that and then I couldn't play it like 2-3 weeks out, I would have been very upset about that. Halo Infinite, I found it very underwhelming. And who talks about it now? Like, apparently the multiplayer is struggling as well too. Like, as much as it, like, people were hyped about it at release, some people gave it 10s, which I find that giving any game a 10 is a big deal, but like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, Halo Infinite was rough, man. I don't know how anyone could give that a 10. I think that's it's embarrassing.
This year, look, I think there's been some quality games that have come out, but I'm seeing 10s on everything at the moment, and I'm just like scratching my head, because I think it's bullshit.
They're handing them out like candy at the moment, and it's like, what's going on here?
Like, what lowered the bar so much that you can... I mean, like, you know, Elden Ring. I will be the first to defend Elden Ring, because Aaron keeps shitting on it and sucks at the game, and that's why he doesn't like it. And it's a good game. It's just not a fucking 10 out of 10 game.
Yes.
So I just...
I love Horizon Forbidden West. Not a 10 out of 10 game. That's why I didn't give it full marks in my review. I may as well mention it briefly now. Horizon Forbidden West, I mentioned last week in my impressions that it was the best story I'd played yet on the PS5. When I was editing the episode, I was like you know, yelling at my computer, because I was like, I regret saying that. Guardians of the Galaxy is the best narrative I've played so far on the PS5. I really like the narrative in Horizon Forbidden West, but Guardians of the Galaxy, it's great from start to end. It's fantastic.
Give me your game, you tool. I've been waiting for that one.
I think... do you have a Hunter?
I've still got it, motherfucker.
You got to finish it off, Hunter. I'm waiting.
I'll finish it. I'll finish it for you, bro.
He has finished it. He's doing the platinum.
This is the one game that I've been looking forward to. I'm happy to just go out and buy it, but I keep getting told by Zach, no, don't buy it.
No, I'll get it to you.
I can buy it. I've wasted my money on so many shitty games that I feel like I would be putting my money towards something that's actually worth it.
Like, I want to buy a good game for once.
Yeah, exactly, right? Don't you feel like you've just been tricked horribly so many
all
times
the time.
Recently? At least
all
I
the
do.
Time.
Yeah.
I'll get into that a bit later.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sweet. All right, cool.
Now, something that people won't be tricked with is if they decide to pick up a little old game called God of War 2018. You might have heard of it. I mention it on the show once in a while. Apparently, they're in talks to make a God of War series over on Amazon Video. We could be getting a God of War TV show.
No.
Why? No. Why, Lockie? Why no? Why boo?
It won't work. It works because it has heaps of really good graphics and fantasy into it, and you just can't pull off that sort of stuff on mainstream television. Don't tell me Game of Thrones, because that's actually when Game of Thrones started getting really bad, is when they leaned into that.
Yeah. I'd argue, though, that God of War, one of the best elements, and one of the reasons why I like it more than any other game, is because the narrative is fucking amazing. Like,
And I'm sure the narrative would be all right, but I just don't see it translating well to a TV shitties.
Either one
sorry,
works.
I misspoke. I look, I'm still waiting to watch The Lord of the Rings on Amazon. So, like, again, I need these guys to stop hyping up new stuff. I need to see their current project finish out before I can get excited about the new thing. Because I feel like that just makes me feel like I have very little faith in the thing that they were promising before that's meant to be coming out, if they're already trying to move on from it.
Yeah.
From a marketing standpoint.
Yeah, no, Lockie. Well, they haven't announced that they're doing this. This is like, it's sort of leaked that this is going to be happening. But I think, but then who knows? It could be one of those situations where, like, oh, the PR person leaked it because they want to gauge people's interest in this and see if they start talking about it like what we are right now. I think you're absolutely right.
You know
right,
what,
Lockie?
Zach? You're the worst arguer. I'm gonna have to argue with myself, because you know what? As I'm thinking about this out loud, that everything that I said is bullshit because I pulled it off with The Witcher. That's a decent show.
Well, look, no, you make a good point, Lockie, because I think we're yet to see a decent and like. Oh, actually, no, I am wrong. I was about to say a stupid statement. Amazon Video, they did The Boys, right?
Yeah, dude, Amazon, oh, that's what I was going to say.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, Amazon did The
okay,
Boys.
All right.
They've actually got not a bad track record, especially if they're going to do, like, lean towards that more superhero-y kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see, like, they had some good effects in The Boys, like VFX
fair
and
cop.
Stuff.
Fair cop.
I can see some big, muscly dude painted blue like Kratos, you know, like putting axes in people's heads.
He's
like,
white, by the way. He gets painted white because he has the ashes of his dead
he's
family
got like a
on
blue
him.
Let's, tinge to him.
Sorry, but I'm a Kratos nerd, so I have to. I'm a God of War nerd.
But I agree at the same time, Lockie, that it is a bit like, hey, you might have too many eggs in the same basket. Like, just focus on one thing. But if it's just a rumor, I could, like, as you said, Zach, they might just be gauging the interest for it. I could see it working, but at the same time I could see it being a complete flop, so who knows? We'll have to wait and see how it develops, I suppose. Like,
I heard they get the voice actor to just play it. Teal'c was great in Stargate. He'd be a bit old though.
No, and that was one of the things.
Actually, no, that works because God of War is older. Like, you know, that works for
he's
his
meant
whole
to be
character,
like 3,000 years old or 300 years old or something. So
he's literally a god.
Just age up his child, so his child is actually the buff one. That's like, you know, the passing of the torch. And then, you got yourself a show.
Look, I've got a feeling that they're not going to use him. And that was one of my thoughts immediately was, what the fuck would this be like if they didn't... I haven't got his name here right in front of me.
It's going to be Chris Pratt.
Yeah, Chris Pratt.
He's so cool.
He's so cool.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine anyone else doing that voice. Like, it's just so perfect. Like, boy, it's just so good. I'm tentatively excited just because, like, The Boys exists. I'd probably be happier if HBO was making this series. I think they got a better track rate right now, but hey, I guess we'll wait and see. Hopefully this ends up happening and we get a God of War TV show. I am keen. But this information that came out as a bit of a rumor, and another word for rumor is leaks, and it's time for somebody's leaking.
All of Australia's leaking at the moment.
Yeah, well, we were talking about before, everyone's fucking leaking.
Yeah. Oh, I'm moist with this leak, don't you worry. This comes out of comicbook.com, was written by Tyler Fisher. A mysterious and recent shipment from Sony may point to the existence of the PS5 Pro. In November 2016, Sony released the PS4 Pro, a souped-up version of the launch PS4. This was 3 years after the console was initially released. If history repeats itself, the PS5 Pro will release next year. I don't think that's very fucking likely. Recently, Sony sent out a huge shipment of development kits to Oakland, California. Why it did this and what exactly was shipped, we don't know, but it's now also shipped 1,500 pounds of video game console prototypes from London to Norfolk, Virginia. Well, it did this back in November 2016, 2021, but it's only just been discovered by Tweak Town. So we have rumours already of the PS5 Pro. I started laughing when I said that. I think that's... basically translates what my opinion on this situation is. Hunter, what do you think about the PS5 Pro being rumored already?
Oh, look, obviously they're going to have a PS5 Pro at some point. And they're going to have a PS5 Slim and all that kind of stuff. It's just a matter of time. But I agree. I just laugh about this story. Like, people can't get PS5 still. How are they going to release a PS5 Pro when you can barely get your hands on the PS5? But the fact they've sent that amount of, like, gear over to the Virginia obviously means something's happening. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. As I said, that's one of those ones you just got to kind of laugh about because you're like, well, what are they doing if you can't even get the normal one and now they're going to try and release more? But who knows, I suppose. What do you think, Lockie?
I'm sorry. I couldn't think after Zach said Sony instead of Sony. I just couldn't.
I didn't pick that up, so.
I'm on my third drink.
No, fucking play it back. I can't. Think of anything after that. After you said that, my brain just went, he said Sonny.
I just love Sony so
Sonny.
Much.
Instead of Sony, he loves Sonny. He loves Sonny so much.
Oh, Sonny Jim.
He turned Japanese for a moment.
Sonny Jim. And it's funny because Jim Ryan is the head of Sony Entertainment. Oh, my God. Oh, holy shit. Sorry, just a bit of behind the scenes for everybody. Chase has brought his... Hunter's brought his dog Chase, and Chase has just farted, and oh my!
It's a wicked one.
Chase has brought his owner Hunter.
Yeah.
Woo!
It still works.
Oh my god!
To be fair, he basically owns me anyway.
Oh, Lockie, are you going to rush out and buy a PS5 Pro when it comes out?
Dude, I know that room is airtight at the moment. Maybe crack open a window.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I might just open a window, eh?
Yeah. I feel bad for you guys. I don't think anything I would say needs to really be said before you do that.
Oh, damn.
Oh, you're good now. You can see how red my face is. That's why.
Yeah, it's not... Look, it's not healthy.
Nah.
All right, sorry, what did you ask? You're asking about...
PS5 Pro leaked. What do you think?
Oh, I don't care.
Yeah. No, fair. Look, it's no one can get a PS5 yet. Obviously, a PS5
Pro's...
I just
got a fucking
Pro's...
PS5, yeah. Like, yeah. What do I care about a PS Pro?
That's what I was saying. Like, they can barely get the normal consoles out. How are they going to get the Pros out all of a sudden?
Like... yeah, they've got the PSVR 2 that's probably going to be coming out in the next year or so, and that uses some of the same components that they need for the PS5. So, right now, they're struggling to ship PS5s as it is, so how the fuck they're going to manage to ship out a new console? I'd say if we see this, it's probably not going to be for at least...
yeah.
My guess would be 2024, but that's just my guessing. But this ain't guesswork. It's time for the games coming up in the next week. And God, the games just continue to come out. Holy fucking shit. The Cruel King and the Great Hero comes to PS4 and Nintendo Switch on March 15th. Grand Theft Auto 5, the next gen versions, are out now, and apparently you can get it cheaper or something like that at the moment.
Yeah, I think if you, it's like one of those PS5 update things. Mm. So if you've got the PS4 copy, you can get it for like $15 or whatever.
But that's going to go up apparently eventually.
Yeah, and again, it's like what, the 7th version of that game or something. So
fuck cares. Oh my god. Phantom Breaker Omnia is coming to PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch. Tunic, a game that I've been interested in and I totally forgot existed until I read this out, apparently came out, is coming out on March 16th, and it's coming to Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and PC. Enomutationem. Oh my god. Coming to PS5, PS4, and PC on March 17th. Oh, Lockie, I know you're going to be keen for this one. Monster Energy Supercross 5.
Oh, fuck it's, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
It's coming to all platforms except for Nintendo Switch on March 17th. Persona 4 Arena Ultimax is coming to PS4, PC, and Nintendo Switch. Oh, what the fucking Christ. Persona 4 Arena Ultimax, the more absorbent of the Persona series. Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin is coming to PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, and PC March 18th. And there's a demo. There's a demo available for that one at the moment for free on PlayStation, which apparently it's a little bit jank. It seems like it might need a little bit more time, but... March 18th, that's what they're saying. It's going to be coming out.
Oh, which one are you talking about? The Birds of Paradise one?
Yeah, exactly. The Birds of Tokyo, yeah. Strangers in Paradise, Fantasy Finally, something or other. For people who don't know, Strangers of Paradise is the one where in the trailer the protagonist keeps saying they're going to kill Chaos, and that became a meme for a little while. When they first announced it, so...
Yeah. They're going to kill Bill. Yeah, no, it's... I've been playing the demo, and I'll talk on the demo in the upcoming thing, but, okay. Buckle in for this one.
Okay.
All right.
Any of those releases coming up in the next week stand out to you, Hunter?
No.
Nope.
Not at all.
That's totally
not
fair.
At all.
And look, that's good because I've had a couple of drinks and I really need a pee. So how about we take a quick break and then we'll jump back on in with the games that we've been playing. Hunter.
I don't know. Oh.
Hunter.
Hunter.
You are our guest.
Hunter.
Yo, yo.
What have you been playing this week, my friend?
I have been playing WWE 2K22.
Yo!
And let me tell you, man, it's definitely an interesting game.
Okay.
It's definitely very interesting. I'll start off by saying IGN gave it an 8 out of 10.
Oh, classic.
Classic IGN.
Classic.
Personally, I probably would have given it about a 7, maybe 7.5. So it's pretty close.
All right.
Obviously, 2K20 was an absolute dumpster fire. I think people that aren't even a fan of the series or wrestling in general saw how much of a dumpster fire that was.
Oh, yeah. Like, we talked about it on the show just purely in news because there was just so many great compilations of all the bugs and all the fucked up, like, hair physics and shit.
Absolutely.
I remember, like, seeing one of the wrestlers, he had dreads and he was in a car with the windows up, but his hair was, like, going insane.
Morphing
and just
around all the place.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's like spidering out like crazy, like Aloy, but like times 1,000. It was nuts.
Exactly. So look, it's obviously it's gonna be hyped up a bit more because it's an improvement on that, to say the least.
Okay, that's good.
As I said to you previously, Zach, I was happy with this game if it just didn't crash constantly, and the wrestlers actually looked like the wrestlers, which seems to be the case in this one, that they've overhauled the lighting. And it looks really good. The entrances all look really good. They've got new camera angles and stuff, so it feels a lot bigger too. Like, it feels like you're actually watching a real wrestling production, if you've ever seen that. And it's, yeah, they've overhauled the controls as well. One of their big marketing things was that anyone could kind of pick up and play this game. And I feel like that is the case. I've played a couple matches against my friend who completely new to the game, literally just picked up the controller. I told him the basics. And
shout out to Benny.
Yeah, shout out to Benny boy. And I'm a veteran of this series too, so you know, I know my way around it. But we ended up having like 20-30 minute matches, and they were really good. Like I had matches where I was like, shit, he might actually get me here. Like it's one of those it's one of the first games in this series in a while where I've actually felt like, even against the AI, like, fuck, I might lose this match. So that's one good thing they've done. They've taken a lot of little things out, which I'll preface this by saying wrestling fans are very picky, and then you combine that with gaming fans, and you have one of the most toxic fucking fan bases there is.
Okay.
You know, it'll be little things like, oh, this person's hair isn't red on this two strands of their hair, like it isn't red. And some of the stuff people come up with is absolutely ridiculous.
The Rock's eyebrow is 1 centimeter too low. It's supposed to be it's supposed to be right up there.
Exactly. But yeah, it's, as I said,
do you think that's indicative of the whole fan base, that they're all batshit crazy, or is it just a few select few?
Like, the wrestling fan base in general is, like, you know, the nerdiest of nerds. Like, I feel real nerdy right now even just talking about this game.
But that makes no sense to me. I thought people that liked wrestling were, like, that was really sporty and jock-like. I wouldn't have thought that's the nerdy fan base.
It's a bit of both, man. It's a bit of both. Because you have, you know, the big jock dudes that are like, yeah, wrestling. But then you, like, you know, it's, everyone knows it's, like, you know, not that real. So that's the stigma that's on it. That's like, you know, oh, why would you watch that? It's fake. Like, so the people that do watch it, you know, still like to have that believability about the story is real or whatever.
Well, it's like how My Kitchen Rules or The Farmer Wants a Wife.
I literally say it's just like, it's the most testosterone soap opera you can get. Like, it's that's literally all it is. It's just like a soap opera with men doing ballet.
I don't think people go into that mostly thinking it's real and go, like, but they get lost in it anyway, you know, like, you still get caught up in it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, a lot of them are very, very fickle about what they like and don't like. And then, as I said, you combine that with a gaming audience, and because it's such a niche audience for this game, too, it brings the worst out of people. But, as I was...
Do you reckon people are... Do you reckon there are trolls as well in this sort of area? Because I reckon this would be like a really popular troll zone to get the, you know, just to get people riled up saying like, oh, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's not wearing his, you know, that ridiculous haircut that he wore.
Well, as I said, man, wrestling fans, they'll complain about anything they can.
Yeah.
And so will gaming fans. So you combine the two. And yeah, it is a bit like... I feel like it is a bit of a troll to a sense, where some people are like, oh, they took this out of the game. But if you look at the overall of this new WWE game, they've done a lot better. Like, as I said, 2K20 was an absolute dumpster fire. I had a good match with my friend when I picked up and played. People complain about stuff like, oh, you can't, you know... As you said, like, oh, The Rock doesn't have this right haircut or something like that. But it's like, okay, does the game crash constantly? Is it fun to play? Yes.
He's not dressed up like that alien that he plays in that one episode of Star Trek.
You're exactly right.
I did not know that he was in that. There you go.
He was.
Oh, dear.
They announced a lot of interesting DLC for this game recently, too. They've got a few celebrities popping up, including Logan Paul, who I can't wait to put through a table or, like, throw off a fucking cage or something.
He's so cool.
How the fuck, after, like, I feel like it was only, like, 2-3 years ago he filmed that YouTube video in the Japanese suicide forest showing a dead body, and now you can pay to play as him in a WWE game. That just seems insane to me.
He's involved in a couple storylines at the moment. I don't know too much about it because I haven't been...
So he's involved in actual WWE?
Yeah, I think he's about to have a match at WrestleMania, which is like their biggest event of the year. That's like their Super Bowl kind of thing.
But that's the thing. It's not even like that's the only thing he's done. There was also... He had something called... Dink Doink Coin. It was like this cryptocurrency that he had that he pumped up for a while. It was like, oh, it's just a joke, but it could go to the moon. Who knows? And then it was seemed to be one of those pump and dump schemes. There was a great YouTube sort of documentary by someone called CoffeeZilla that sort of covered all that, and that's where that's all that's alleged. But how the fuck does he get work with a mainstream thing like WWE after pulling that kind of shit? That's insane.
That's the thing that's interesting with these kind of games too, is that at the end of the day, 2K can try and put whoever they want in the game, but WWE has the final say of who is actually in the game and who is not. And the way I think they're leaning towards, not saying it's right or wrong, but is, you know, he has like what, 22 million followers or something.
Yeah, he's got a huge
and the demographic. Yeah. His demographic is kind of the demographic they want, like, you know, young kids, preteens. Yeah. So that's another 22 million people they can sell the game to.
Yeah.
So I do I don't agree with it, but I understand it.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, you said that they were also going to have Machine Gun Kelly as DLC.
MGK, who did the soundtrack for the game, is apparently going to be a playable character. And Mr. T as well. So I'm excited to play as Mr. T, though.
Mr. T, fuck yeah. Mr. T, awesome.
Was he ever a
makes
wrestler?
Sense in a wrestling game. No.
He doesn't make sense in a wrestling
back
game.
Back in the
he?
Day, he had a couple matches at in the 80s when he was like, you know, when the A-Team was like at its peak. He popped up at, like, I think it was WrestleMania 3, and he teamed up with Hulk Hogan, who, even if you're not a wrestling fan, you know that name.
Yeah.
So he kind of makes sense, because he's actually had a couple matches, and I think he did a couple boxing matches, too, back in the day, so... But yeah, Machine Gun Kelly and Logan Paul is a bit strange. As I said, I can't wait to throw those two off a cage or through a table or something.
Maybe I'm just coming at this with serious boomer energy, and I'm disconnected to what the youth are into these days or something. I don't know, but fuck MGK and Logan Paul. Oh my god.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know about the youth, but I kind of like to see Donald Trump in the ring. That'd be fun.
To be fair,
you can pummel him, or you can get him to pummel other people. Everyone wins.
So well, that's another thing I was gonna mention about this game is they have a thing called Community Creations, which is basically like, you know, you can, and this is a bit of a touchy subject at the moment. They have a Community Creations, as I said, where you can basically you can create whatever wrestler you want. So, for example, Lockie, if you did want to create Donald Trump, you could. And you can have, like, face texture mapping and stuff. So they've done well in that sense.
What about the ass? I need to get the ass.
Oh, you could probably give him a dump truck. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah.
Good eye.
But there's they have custom renders this year, too. So in the past few games, they've had the wrestlers just as, like, their in-game kind of image, if that makes sense. Like, their in-game animation render. Whereas this year, they have renders of like a picture of a fighter for a sense, so it looks like, you know, you're actually a real pre-match screen. But they have custom renders, and you can download custom renders off the Community Creations. And the first page of the most download is just like a lot of anime titties and like hentai.
Of course, yeah.
So yep. Like you go play a match online and you just see like three or four pictures of just like this brutal hentai. And it kind of makes me sad because it's like it's such a cool feature to bring in, and I don't think it's gonna last too long though. With what's going on here,
I'm surprised that's all they're doing. Like, I figured just like most technology where you can get a photo and put it somewhere, people are probably going to use it for dick pics.
As I said, man, it's all just like anime titties, like
hentai. I'm surprised you haven't just got straight up just scrotums just dangling there as the picture for the fighters, but hey, there's still time.
Yeah, it makes me think it's not going to last long, because as I said, that, you know, a lot of kids play these kind of games. Yeah. Like, it's not, as I said, that was like on the first page. So that's not very good if you're a dad trying to play this with a young kid and you're trying to download some custom wrestlers and there's just a pair of anime titties popping up in front of you. And I have noticed as well the hit detections can be a little bit off sometimes. But as I said before, it's not crashing constantly, which is an improvement on the last game. I think I had 2 crashes. And that was when I was like messing around with a lot of custom stuff, and that was also before the full release came out. I got an early release copy, so I got it before the full so when that patch came out, I haven't had any crashes since the full release patch. So yeah, overall, as I said, I'd agree with about the 8 out of 10. Probably 7.5, but I've enjoyed what I've seen so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice, buddy. And I dropped by your house briefly last week, and I got to have a look at it as well too. And yeah, damn, those graphics look fucking amazing. Like, you can see the sweat glistening off Dwayne Johnson's skin, which I think everyone can get on board.
That's funny that you mentioned that. That's exactly what I was going to say. Everyone looks really glistening and sweaty in this.
Well, that's what I was saying. They really overhauled the lighting and stuff, because that was a big complaint. And as you touched on before, Zach, the hair physics, they overhauled that too.
Looks fucking great.
Could still use work, obviously. Mm. But hey, compared to what the last game was, it's definitely a step up. This was also 2K's last game on this contract. So WWE has apparently been talking to EA Games.
Interesting.
In case this game is a flop like 2K20 was.
Okay.
Just to test the waters a bit. Maybe put 2K under a bit of pressure. But so that's another interesting thing there. But yeah, it's as I said, it's definitely an improvement. Doesn't crash. As you said, lighting's great, looks great.
Looks amazing.
I played it on the PS5. I've seen the PS4 version. Doesn't look much different.
Okay.
Like, it looks pretty good still.
And something I was impressed with is, like, when you see, like, something that a lot of games really, really struggle with is not just the character model and their physics, but their interactions with things around the environment. And you saw good old Dwayne grabbing the ropes, and it was fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Like, usually you'll see them, like, clip through a little bit, or, like, he won't completely look like he's grasping it properly, but it looked absolutely perfect. The physics of the ropes looked perfect, and I think nailing something like that, it's so little, but it's so important to making the experience look realistic, and I think it's super impressive that they've managed to pull that off.
And that's one thing I've noticed about this game. It's just little quality of life changes like that that do make a huge difference. Like, tables will break differently depending on what move you do. As you said, the ropes look perfect when you, like, throw someone into the ropes or try and climb the top rope like that. I think they've done, as I said, they've taken features out, but the reason for that was because they were trying to prevent all these crashes and stuff happening.
Yeah.
So
reducing the scope so they can focus things and make it more polished, I guess.
And they had, you know, they had the year off as well. You know, they had, it's usually a yearly release, as most sports games are. And they had, you know, 2K20 was obviously bad. And I think they used the pandemic as an excuse as well to have a longer development time. But I think they've done pretty well.
Yeah, I think they've done a fantastic job. Sometimes I'm just watching it as you're talking about it.
Yeah.
And I reckon some of the players, they have absolutely nailed their faces, just photorealistic.
Oh, some of the scans are ridiculous. Like,
yeah. Oh, it's just like, until I see them actually start playing and moving, it feels like I'm just watching a real person. Mm. And then as soon as they start moving, we're back in the video game world, and the immersion is broken, but I don't think the game would be too fun if we're hyper-realistic in that.
And that's another thing they've done, too. They've kind of stepped away, because it's usually been a more simulation-based kind of a real kind of wrestling match, but now they've stepped away from that, and they've gone more of like a Mortal Kombat route, where you can just do like easy combos and like blocks and like block breakers and combo breakers and stuff. So as I said, it is very easy to pick up and play. Like, I'm sure you and me, Lockie, could have a great match even if you just picked it up. Like, it's as you said, I think they've nailed the likenesses of some of them, and they've also captured what a fighting game like this should be, where it's quick combat and it's not too like slow, it's not clunky, the moves look smooth. Yeah. So I'm pretty happy with it. Being a long-term fan of, like, I've been playing wrestling games since I was like 5-6 years old. They're some of the first games I've ever played, and that's what I was touching on before with I have been tricked too many times by these games by being like, oh, this looks really good, and then you get like a 2K20 kind of deal. So they've definitely done well with this one.
This one looks good. Ooh. I might pick this one up, actually. God, it's been a while since I played wrestling games. I haven't played... I don't think I've really loved a good wrestling game since WWF on N64.
Whoa!
And that's the kind of play style they've tried to go back to, because everyone's like, oh, these games were so good. Like, you could do all this cool shit, and now they've kind of, as I said, stepped away from that simulation aspect and gone back to, let's just have like a cool fucking arc. As I said, my mate who played the game, we had like 30-40 minute hardcore matches and stuff. Like, it was really fun. Mm. Like, so yeah.
It makes sense. Like, a wrestling game, you should be able to just pick it up and play with most people, no matter what their gaming experience is. Like other fighting games as well too. Nice. Yeah. Anything left to say on WWE 2K22?
Not really. As I said, I think I got it pretty good. Like, yeah, you can pick up and play it, but also for more experienced players like myself, you can pull off like full combos. Mm. You can do like, you know, like say light attack, heavy attack, heavy attack, grab attack.
Yeah.
And so you can pull off moves that way too. So it works both ways, really. So if you've got a more experienced player like myself, you could probably have great matches again.
Yeah.
But as I said, the people I've played it with that have barely ever played wrestling games, we've also had great matches. So yeah, look, again, it's not perfect. It's far from perfect, but it's definitely a massive step up from the last couple games.
Bloody oath. I'm glad to hear wrestling fans have something good now to, like, cause it's been a while for them.
Yeah, exactly. So
something good they can play together. That's bloody awesome. Lockie, what have you been playing this week, brother?
All right, well... How do I summarize this in an engaging way?
You're going to talk about Strangers in Paradise, Ultimax, whatever?
I've been playing more Civ 6. No, I'm not going to talk about Civ 6, although I have been playing more of that, because God damn it, that's a good game. I just can't get away from that game. Civ 6 and Binding of Isaac are just my go-to games now when I'm just bored and need to chill. I've been playing me some Elden Ring, which is fucking great. I love that game. It's absolutely brutal. It kicks my ass.
Would you give it a 10 out of 10?
Oh, absolutely. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. The graphics are all right. There's not much story in it. The overworld music is awful. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
I thought you'd say that.
Yeah, no, like, it's a solid game, but I would be giving it more like an 8.5. Yep. Me coming from Dark Souls and absolutely loving Dark Souls, it's very much Dark Souls open world. I think it could stand to be a little bit better in its overworld, because Actually, now that leads me into something I have been picking up, and this puts things into context, particularly with a game like Elden Ring, graphics-wise. I picked up the DLC for Valhalla, which is Ragnarok, which is what I thought Valhalla was going to be called originally. I said they should have called it Ragnarok, but it turns out they say that for the DLC.
Well,
so,
hey,
at least they got
the original teaser trailer, I thought it was called Ragnarok.
I had Ragnarok in my mind for the whole way through, and then Valhalla came out.
Yeah,
I
think you're right there,
what?
Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so, that's what I've been playing. I haven't been playing much of Ragnarok, to be honest, because as soon as I started playing it, I love the environments and the textures, but the gameplay, after having come from Elden Ring, I can't go back, man.
Thank you.
I just can't go back. It's too easy. I pumped it up to the nightmarish settings and everything on impossible difficulties, and it's still just so easy, and I don't know, I'm playing that game on PC and there are problems, and there were problems with the PC release on Valhalla that I really fucking hated.
It was so, right, so buggy. Assassin's Creed Valhalla was like, it was like a Bethesda release.
Bethesda,
like,
classic.
I'm gonna be
kinder to it. It didn't have as many Skyrim's, like, physics-breaking bugs, but the bugs that Valhalla in it, I would argue, were more game-breaking and immersion-breaking than anything Skyrim threw at you.
Did
and
you ever me, have that on the bug piece, where you yeah. would just randomly, like, start flying through the map?
Was that Skyrim?
No, Valhalla.
No, I never got that from Valhalla.
Okay,
that sounds great, though.
I don't know, like, I played it on the PS4. I didn't have a PS5 at the time. But apparently it's still a very common bug on consoles. I still see people posting about it on the subreddit. Where you'll just be cruising along, and then all of a sudden, evil will just get picked up in the air and start flying away, and then you'll get dropped down all of a sudden, and you're dead.
Yeah, no, I had a...
That's like, great, I love it.
I had a mountain of Valhalla bugs. Like, literally, out of that whole year, it was only second to Cyberpunk as far as bugs were concerned, and that's fucking saying something, because Cyberpunk was broken to shit. But yeah, so what are you thinking of Dawn of Ragnarok at the moment?
All right, how do we package this? All right, so for anyone that's unclear of the rambling mess that we've forayed into, all right, Valhalla, base game, you are Assassin's Creed, you play Ezio Auditore, but Norwegian, and you're in England, and you...
And you have a beard.
And you have a beard,
you
unless
don't,
you're the
you
woman.
Choose to play as the chick.
If you play as the chick, but I think the chick also can have a beard.
I've seen that glitch, yes, you can.
Excellent. All right, well, that's the only way I would probably have picked that one. All right, well, so that's... it's another Assassin's Creed game. They've taken you out of boring-ass England, finally, which is great. And they plonked you right into, it's the dwarf section of Asgard. I don't know, dwarf land mythology, Dwarvenheim or something.
That,
I think they call it
mythology kind of it. Yeah,
exactly. They've taken you back to Asgard, from Marvel's. I'm too tired to do this game justice, but also even describing this game, it's just so all over the place.
Oh, it's hard.
This is the game. It's really hard to keep track of because they try, for whatever fucking reason, they try to create a sense of continuity that you are you're a modern day assassin going back in time through your memories to play as this other person that's going through their memories or their own hallucination dreams, or they're just a god and they call you Harvey or Odin. And they call you Harvey because everyone knows Odin. And so as soon as you hear Harvey, you're like, who the fuck is Harvey? So, this game is just an absolute...
You nailed it, man. You're adopted, and then you're a god all of a sudden, and then your dad's a god. It's like, what the fuck is happening here? Like,
yes, all of those things. I feel like this game, I feel like it's not entirely my fault that I'm not able to summarize this game. It is just all over the shop. It just is very, very hard to follow.
Yeah.
And it throws you right back into it. As soon as I'm back into the game, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, this was Valhalla. Yep, here we go. But I did have the pleasure of being able to play it on an updated PC, being able to pump out those graphics, and god damn it, the textures of that game are fucking pitch perfect in a lot of areas. And the very first thing that I remarked on going back into that game was how much Elden Ring looks shitty by comparison. So this is the one thing I will throw a bone to Aaron, is that Valhalla and to an extension Ragnarok is a gorgeous game. The Ragnarok world, they give you a fully explorable open world to enjoy. It's mythological Norse land. It's got floating castles in the sky. Everything's on fire. But in a pretty beautiful way, it looks great. And then you actually get into the game. And then I start remembering things that I had problems with in the initial game. And unfortunately, they never quite fix them up. So the very first thing I noticed, PC, audio. Audio is absolutely fucked. I don't know what I need to do to change around my settings to fix it. But to be honest, I don't think I should need to at this point. Why have they not patched this? Why does it sound like that all the characters are doing their voice readings in an echo chamber, where it just sounds like they're all speaking in this empty auditorium, doing a play recital. And I'm sure that's not the intention of the game. It's the worst sound quality I've ever heard in any game ever. It's just so glaringly terrible. I don't understand it. Add on top of that, I'm having issues with the audio of my weapons landing and hitting characters. The sound animations don't go off in certain respects. I have to play around a lot with the sound settings to try and get a bit of bass back into the mix. And I've been able to get it to a point where it's passable, but it still doesn't feel very nice, and it doesn't give you that crunchy sound that you get if you pop in your headphones or if you play it on one of the console versions of the game. So I don't know what the fuck they did there. Because I'm playing this on a completely different operating system, completely different computer. I'm playing it on Windows 11 and on DirectX 12. So you would think that it would be, you know, completely updated and ready to go. No, it's got issues. And to be honest, those things... Sound design is really, really important in a game.
That's a massive theme, man. Massive.
Yeah, it's something that you don't think about because it's normally done well, and until you're missing it, you suddenly realize how much of an effect a good sound animation makes when it actually lands when your attack hits something, because you're just hitting ones and zeros. And you can suddenly notice that when you can't hear anything and you're expecting to hear something. And it's just, I don't know, it's just remarkable because it completely ruins the experience for me. And I immediately found myself wanting to play Elden Ring again. So as much as Elden Ring is sacrificing graphics and it's not as well optimized as Valhalla is, I can play Valhalla at 80 FPS. Cranked out max graphics on everything on 4K TV. So it's really, really well optimized, but they never fixed up their most critical issues, which was sound design.
Well, yeah, as I was saying, it looks like they've got a lot of stuff they never fixed up, because that flying bug I was talking about has been around since the start of the game, and people are still having that problem. So
in summary, the game looks decent. I need to play a bit more of it once I am able to... pop in my headphones and get past that sound design issue, but it looks like there's a lot of promising stuff around that you would want from a good quality expansion. It gives you more powers to play with. I really like the bird power that lets you just fucking fly around the map and explore this big, gorgeous open world. Not too sure what they're doing with the crow animations in the distance, because they've got this flock of crows animation that they have that shows in the environment, and everything else is 4K textures and looks gorgeous, but then they show these flock of crows every now and again.
2 or 3 frames per second, yeah.
Yeah, they move like fucking Zubats from the fucking Sword and Shield game in the background. It looks awful. And to be honest, I'm thinking to myself, why even bother include that? There's enough going on my screen to really appreciate the beauty of this game.
Yeah.
I didn't even need that. But if you're going to include it, don't include
that.
Don't
half-ass
it,
yeah.
It's like Pokemon Legends Arceus level frame rate when it's at a distance. It's so funny, Lockie. You mentioned before how you were thinking the exact same thing that I was about WWE with the Rock with his sweat glistening. And I know in our previous episodes we've mentioned that we spend too much time together because we keep going to say the same things. Because just like you, I've been playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla Dawn of Ragnarok. And after coming off Horizon Forbidden West, I was so underwhelmed. I was looking forward to playing it, but then I couldn't force myself to give a shit about it. And just like you, I decided to, instead of playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla Dawn of Ragnarok, I picked up Elden Ring and started playing that instead.
Oh, awesome. So it goes to show that you don't need story, you don't need plot. Get that plot out of my game.
Well, look,
I just need a game.
Yeah, as much as you're absolutely right, Assassin's Creed Valhalla technically looks better, but the scale in Elden Ring is completely different, and the world design and just the typography of the map is so much better design than Dawn of Ragnarok. Dawn of Ragnarok to me is just more Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and like with the previous expansions to the previous Assassin's Creeds, when they've sort of turned to this RPG style, like Odyssey and Origins, it was a really sort of epic thing when they did this mythology-based expansions. But in Assassin's Creed Valhalla, spoilers for Assassin's Creed Valhalla, you already get to play as Odin in this story where you're at Asgard. So it just takes all the excitement. It's just like continuing the story from then on. I couldn't have given a shit. It starts off with like his son dies that they never... I don't think they even talk about Baldur in the original Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So I couldn't have given two fucks. And how about that? Like, they pretty much used the exact same beginning that they used to Assassin's Creed Origins, where the son fucking dies. And just a massive trope in so many movies and video games. Oh, the child dies, that's your motivation. Honestly, I couldn't give two shits. It's more Assassin's Creed, just with a few extra powers to play around with.
They should go the John Wick route and have one of his ravens die. And just, he just goes on a killing rampage.
They steal the fox or something, like, that runs around your camp. Yeah. Like, they take that away from you.
Man, it's right now, there is so much good open world stuff to play. You have Horizon Forbidden West. You have Elden Ring. You have Dying Light 2. The only reason I would pick up Assassin's Creed Valhalla Dawn of Ragnarok is if you did not get enough out of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which it's already an overbloated game. It's already over 100 hours, and more of that is nothing that's enticing to me at all. I've between the three Assassin's Creed RPGs that have come out over the last 4 or 5 years, I've played about 400 hours of this shit with the very similar combat styles with just a few variations. I'm over it. I'm done. I'm ready for Assassin's Creed to revamp itself and do a big overhaul. I couldn't give a shit about anything else they have to release at this point. Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm just ready for another Ghost of Tsushima game, to be honest, when I play these games.
That's the thing. Like, how the fuck can Ubisoft shit out these titles when we have other stuff that is so amazing to play, like Ghost of Tsushima, like fucking Elden Ring, Horizon, all the shit that I mentioned before? It's insane.
Yeah, it's weird. I think to Ubisoft's credit, the game does look really gorgeous. You have all the settings maxed out. It is a beautiful looking game. So they've nailed environments and textures and really well optimized. It's the game mechanics and that I just don't. It's the mechanics and the sound design and just like these weird little things that
those
just
little
really
bugs they don't fix.
Exactly.
Like
it's just those. It's those things that are crucial to the actual gaming experience part of it where it just all falls apart that other companies have been able to absolutely nail and put Ubisoft to shame in recent times. And, you know, I'm constantly going to be referring them to Ghost of Tsushima because they just absolutely nailed it. You know, they were able to pull off the beautiful open world, but also the game mechanics was just fucking pitch perfect. And I just don't understand why Ubisoft can't do that. They're meant to be the leaders of this industry. It's just, yeah.
And that's the thing, even in the visual department, like, yeah, it may technically look better than Elden Ring, but Horizon Forbidden West exists, and that looks better in design as well as just technically, and Ghost of Tsushima, and Red Dead Redemption 2, which came out in 2018. Ubisoft are behind the ball, and they're just relying on the IP power of Assassin's Creed at this point. I'm getting very over it.
As you said, they're kind of relying on the IP. It's kind of becoming like a Call of Duty kind of thing, isn't it? Where they're just like, oh, we'll pump this out because we know it's going to sell. Doesn't matter what kind of story or what kind of quality we put out, it's going to sell because people love Assassin's Creed.
God.
they just need to figure out those gameplay mechanics. They just still haven't quite figured it out yet. And that's where they're falling behind.
And you know what I need to figure out, Lockie? What the fuck did you think of the Strangers in Paradise Final Fantasy demo thing?
Oh, that's right. So that was the other thing that I played this week. I played the demo for Stranger Things Final Fantasy.
Stranger Things Final Fantasy.
Yeah, Stranger Things Final Fantasy. So the boys are back. The boys are back with L to take on the Demogorgon with another to go another round with the Demogorgon. This time round it's called Chaos. And this time the boys have been aged up, and everyone's been aged up about 20 years and looks very anime. And so that's Strangers in Paradise or whatever. So this game I was really nervous about because I'm a big Final Fantasy fan, and just everything about it seemed very raw cut, like a game that never quite got finished or off the ground, but they put enough into it that they needed to sell it. And that was what I was thinking when I even saw that they didn't even want to give it a proper Final Fantasy title. Everything about it just seemed wrong. It seemed like a game that people should not be spending money on. And to be honest, the demo confirmed that to me completely. at least for the PS5. So the PS5, I don't even know why they fucking bothered with a demo because it looks awful. It's the worst looking Final Fantasy game I've ever seen in my entire life. It's a really bad looking game. The graphics look like... they look like kind of Final Fantasy 13 level era graphics, but they couldn't even pull off a proper resolution for that. So in order to get even like a 40 to 60 FPS, so you have to favor performance mode. They downscale it to this just completely unplayable resolution. You're like fucking playing this game on 720p, and it just looks awful. Terrible looking game, really blurry, pixely. I've never seen a Final Fantasy game look this bad. And they're trying to show it off as if like, oh, look at this really exciting area. And so they take you very quickly to this tutorial area where you're in the middle of these golden fields that don't look particularly great because everything's pixelated. But to their credit, everything's moving and it looks like this big, wide, interesting area you can explore in. No, you can only fucking travel 2 meters in this space and then you hit invisible walls. They do not want you journeying in this area. It's not playable. So then after that, it was just endless dialogue and cutscenes of some dickhead saying chaos over and over again and everyone was grunting. They weren't even fucking talking most of the time. They're just grunting.
That's how I feel about Kingdom Hearts. I feel like every second line in that script is,
Yeah, that's Kingdom Hearts 3. But look, you know, there is a little bit of anime expression there, but you can't have the entire dialogue just grunts. Yeah. It just sounds like caveman speak. Chaos. I don't know, and here's the clincher. They're asking for $100 asking price for the game when it gets released on the PS5. They can get fucked.
Yeah, that's
that's the biggest rip-off I've ever seen.
Oh, dude.
I would consider this game at most for, I don't know, $30-$40. Cool. The action looks pretty good. The action looks like they've pulled the Final Fantasy VII Remake action into another game. And hey, if you're really into that game and you're looking for that next sort of game of that style, then you got something, you know, something here, but definitely not $100 worth. It's not another Final Fantasy VII Remake, so you're not getting anywhere near the quality of that. So I don't know. I'm just incredibly embarrassed for Square Enix at this point.
On the when you buy a PS5, on the box it says 8K ready. And now we're getting a game 2 years. Yeah. Hey, ridiculous. It is laughable. And we're getting a game 2 years after the release of this console that's running at 720p. What the fuck? Was the frame rate at least smooth as butter? It fucking would want to be
It was smooth. It was performing in performance mode. I'll give it that. But it was not looking nearly as good as a performance mode should look on this console. Yeah. There is something horribly, horribly wrong with the optimization of this game. And I switched it into quality mode because I wanted to see the full chops of this game. And it looks like balls. It's still not proper 4K output.
Didn't make it any better.
No, it doesn't look any better. Yeah. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm kind of, if I can see what it looks like being played on the PC release and it turns out being a completely different story, then I might be able to take this game seriously. But as it looks now, I can't even give this game a second thought beyond that. But to be honest, I think there's so many problems with this game that it wouldn't matter even if it looked beautiful. I think we'd have another Valhalla situation on our hands here.
Oh, damn.
It's not good to hear.
Oh, buddy, Square Enix. They're not giving me a lot of faith in Forspoken and the shit they have coming out at the moment. Square Enix have not been cranking out the hits at the moment. Like, the last thing I can remember good from them was Guardians of the Galaxy, and then, God, what? Like, I guess people did like Final Fantasy VII Remake, but fuck, I hated that game. Never has a game tested my patience so much. There's a segment where...
It was the pacing.
Oh, mate.
The pacing was really painful in that game.
You have to walk up, like, 50-something flights of stairs, and the further you go, the slower you start to move, which I guess, you know, immersion, it's realistic, but fuck that. Oh, my God, that was...
that's one of my biggest pet peeves, when, like, in a game you can't run, or, like, an NPC walks faster than you. And it's like, are you serious? Like,
far out. Anything left to say on the
credit where credit's due? At least that is a game, and at least that is a proper finished product.
That was ready to be released.
This game is like 3 to 4 years off from being ready to release, and they're asking $100 for it, which is just humiliating for Square Enix.
Yeah, God, so keep an eye. I don't think any of us are going to be picking it up to review it, but keep an eye on the reviews before you decide to pick that one up by the sounds of it, because, it's not sounding good. Far out.
Oh, I think this one will be a very popular shit-on game.
Interesting.
I reckon this will have endless comedy gold.
Great. Thankfully, there's a million great games we can play right now, so who gives a fuck if Square Enix comes out with a shitter? Oh, dear. Well, God, it's been a fantastic episode of News to Reviews. Thanks so much for joining us, Hunter. I'm glad you could play WWE 2K2022, because there's no fucking way I would have been picking it up. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me, guys. Always love coming on the show, so yeah, I'd say if you're a wrestling fan and you've been disappointed with the past few games, definitely pick that game up.
Lockie, thank you for joining us once again, and just a heads up to people, I'm going to put in Spotify, I'll put a question down, who do you think should play Kratos if Amazon does make a live-action God of War series? I'm very curious to see who our audience would cast, that's for sure.
It's got
to
be Chris Pratt.
He's just so cool.
He's so cool.
And yeah, if you can leave us a review or a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, that would be very much appreciated. And hey, I'm going to be streaming Jack 3 once again on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Come check it out. Come talk about some games and come have some fun. Lockie, do you have any final words of wisdom for our listeners on this?
I'll watch you if... How about this? I'll watch you if you stream Elden Ring. I wanna see you die. I wanna see you really struggle with that game. That's something I would watch as entertainment.
Well, Garrett, look, I can do that. I guess the only thing... I was trying to keep my streams to things that I would platinum. And there's no way I'm going to be platinuming Elden Ring because, oh my god, that's a...
Nah, do it. You should do it.
Well, fuck... Yeah, exactly. Fuck that. I want to be entertained. I don't give a shit about you platinuming.
All right, yeah. Okay. Well, I guess you heard it here first. 7 p.m. Wednesday, Australian Eastern Daylight Time. I'm going to be streaming Elden Ring and you can watch me...
Oh,
there you go.
Shit.
Make sure you tune in, boys.
You can watch me get my anus absolutely pummeled in a bad way.
Fucking yes. Oh my god, I'm setting my timer now.
Yeah,
Lockie
will be in the
chat.
I'll be in the chat. Let's get it done.
Yep. Fucking sounding off. All right, we've got a Twitch. Now we've got a Twitch stream. Now we've got a Twitch stream on our hands.
I feel like I'm going to regret having said that. Now I've put it out there on the podcast. I have to do it.
That's all right.
Oh, but God, if you're playing Elden Ring out there, I know it's one of those games that can truly fuck you up. So if you are, please take care of yourself and then take care of one another.
So dumb. I reckon
I'll just send it to you as well.
Whoever Oh, I'm looking at it. It's funny. I reckon whoever does Pringles, I'm guessing Smith's
probs.
Yeah, I can't imagine they'd have any issue with this, you know, booming in popularity. I reckon Nintendo would be weird about it though. So they're probably not gonna like, you know, take ownership or anything through it. Because Nintendo's fucking weird about all of their shit.
Yeah, no way. Advertising. Yeah, no way Nintendo's going to be on board with this at all.
They probably already... The second that meme went out, they probably already got a cease and desist letter for Smith's office.
I mean, if anyone could probably sue, like, Smith's or Pringles, it would probably be Nintendo, to be fair, so...
Sometimes when I sneeze and I make that chew noise, I get a cease and desist letter from Nintendo lawyers. Like, it's fucking... They're on it.
You breathe too hard, they're like, that's Kirby, you're fucked.
Your mouth is full, you just ripped off full mouth mode.
Yeah, it's going to fuck with their family-friendly line or something. I don't know. I don't know. How do I tie this into Mario and Chris Pratt? God, he's cool. He's so cool.
He's so cool.
He's so cool. Oh, dear.